Thank you. Good morning. I don't think it's evening for anybody, but it's afternoon. On the call, the UDRP call of the 18th of April, we have Jeff Newman, and for staff, Margie Malam, Marika Koenig, and myself, Glenda Saint-Gervais. Carlos Aguirre has sent his apologies. He can't be on the call. Philip Shepherd has sent his apologies. He can't be on the call. And are there apologies from anybody else that you know of?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. Well, over to you, Margie. Jeff?
All right, Jeff and everyone. Jeff. I guess what I wanted to do today was really just finalize the questionnaire. I sent it out last week. Got a very few comments. And Jeff, I know you weren't on the last call. Do you have any comments to the questionnaire that you want to discuss here? And what I'll probably do after this call is just circulate the final with, you know, giving people, say, a day to comment, and if not, I'll, you know, release it on Wednesday. What do you think of that approach?
I think it's fine. The only comment I saw, Philip had, did you incorporate Philip's last set of comments? I think he had said that he thought this was too involved, and then he had some suggestions, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
Sure. What I've got on the screen is David Taylor responded to Philip, indicating that he thought K should get dropped, so I dropped K. I didn't really know what to do with Philip's comments. I think his were just general. Let me pull them up. Because he didn't give specific – I think he just said this might be too complex, and he had missed the prior call where I think Christina had suggested we expand the questions to include some process-type questions, and so that's why I added the ones that I had.
Right.
Don't see any – you know, and I don't think I saw anything specific regarding, you know, what Philip thought we should drop, just kind of general observations.
And this again, is going to be sent to all the providers?
Yeah, it would go to all the providers with the, you know, and the introduction basically says, you know, if you don't have the information, you know, you can choose not to answer or tell us when you can provide the information back.
Right. Yeah, no, I thought it was good. I mean, I thank you for making the changes in the introduction. I'd added a couple lines in there which you took, which is hoping that this doesn't become an advocacy piece and more just, you know, the straight facts. You know, we're not trying to solve anything here, and I think that's good. And I think it'll be good information to get, hopefully, before the webinar, which I see is the next agenda item. So, I mean, I think it's good. I think that's a good plan. It needs to go out ASAP, so I think if you sent it around and said this is it, last comments due by tomorrow so that we can get it out Wednesday, that's great.
Okay. Okay, I think that's right.
Christina's just joined the call. Christina Rosette.
Hello, Christina.
Hey. Sorry, I can't. Adobe is just not working. Sorry.
It's just you and me and ICANN staff, so Margie.
Oh, all right.
Since you're not on Adobe Connect, the only thing I did to the questionnaire was to delete out K, which was David Taylor's suggestion. That was the one that had the question about fair use. I think he thought it didn't make sense to use that language, and if we were to expand on it, it would make it too complicated. So he suggested deleting K altogether. And then the only other comment I received on the list was Philip Shepherd's suggestion that he observed that it seemed awfully broad, comprehensive, and thought that we should perhaps scale it back. And I didn't know what to do with that comment, whether I should, you know, try
yeah,
to
was this,
take...
this is the version you sent around. Okay, hold on. I'm looking at the wrong one. Sorry. No wonder.
I sent it out right after last meeting, and what I have posted on Adobe is that with the redlining accepted, And the only thing that I changed was I deleted item K, 1K.
All right. I would actually suggest that we
So Christina,
yeah, I think K is going to be complicated. The one thing that I would suggest that we do, at least with regard to 1B, is I would just use the language that's in the UDRP providers use, which I think is are terminated before decision, because in many cases they're not going to know whether it's actually settled or not, so to speak, and I don't want to have them get hung up on that.
Okay.
But if you look at whatever WIPO and NAF at their sites where you can indicate what the proceeding status is for searching, I think they both use terminated, and that if that's what you're talking about in 1B, I think we should use those words.
I think that's a good change.
Okay, so I'll change, instead of settled, I'll use the word terminated in 1B.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Or it terminated before decision. I think that would be fine.
Do you have anything else?
The only thing I'm wondering is I'm looking at N, and I'm wondering why we're asking only about registrar, not registrant. Other than that, I think it looks good.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that observation. Yeah, thanks for picking that up. Somebody else raised that, too.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at these, yeah, I mean, you know.
So the in J, involved cases, okay, never mind, you have it, cases where it's upheld, got it.
Or why don't we say, of these, how many... I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me that if we're asking about in one the number of proceedings, then we should probably say that instead of saying involving cases. I know I'm getting nitpicky. But, for example, like in J, Jeff brings up a good point. You know, how many of these, how many proceedings I'm just looking back. I can't. Reason my computer's really. How many respondents asserted reverse domain name hijacking?
Yeah.
You want me to just mark this up, Margie?
That's fine. If you want to send it to me, whatever's easiest for you, or I can take notes. I mean, it's up to you.
Yeah, okay. Christina, what we had talked about before you got on is putting this out for a final last call and having all revisions by tomorrow so that Margie can send it out on Wednesday. Does that work? Christina?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I've got, like, my email is just going nuts. Sorry.
Okay.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I mean, at this point, it would just be kind of tweaks just so that, you know, folks don't get confused as to what it is we're asking them.
Sure. I actually last week spent some time with Khalil in our compliance department, who he kind of focuses on the UDRP compliance related issues, and he had some observations. I thought he was going to be on the call, but he had some observations that he thought could be clarified in the questionnaire. In looking at this, he said that it's a little confusing the way some of this is phrased, because I have I have questions that relate to when proceedings commence, but he says that that's a term of art in the UDRP.
It is.
And if I'm trying to get at changes that occur prior to the proceedings commencing, that I need to clarify that. So, for example, if you look at I guess it's M, or involved domain names that are deleted due to expiration during the course of proceedings, or involved domain names that are transferred during the course of proceedings. He says a lot of the issues arise prior to when the providers consider it the course of
proceedings. But not exclusively. And so maybe what we should do is have both, is, you know, before or during. You know, after the complaint is filed. Well, see, I don't know. Then you start to get really complicated. But I know of at least a couple where it's actually been transferred during the proceeding.
Right. And a lot of the complaints that are received by the compliance department often deal with that kind of that period before, you know, it's officially commenced. And he thought it was useful to at least clarify what, you know, time we're talking about, if that makes sense.
Right.
Okay.
Do any of the UDRP providers have a heads up that this is coming to them?
No, but I was going to reach out to them. He was going to give me names of, you know, contacts at all the providers to let them know it's coming. Do you have a suggestion of how to deal with that?
I mean, I would just send them just kind of a form email, and you could probably just send it to all of them at the same time.
Okay.
You know, because I assume, I have to think that they're all aware that this issues report has been requested, and that, you know, basically lay out kind of this is the date that has been, you'll be getting a questionnaire in the next day or two. It seeks quantitative information to the extent it's, you know, available, and we're planning to have a webinar, and I'll be back in touch about that later, and in the meantime, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I would just make it very neutral, simply because to the extent that folks might not plan to be in the office on Thursday and Friday, that they could at least start pulling their numbers together.
Okay. So you even send them the draft, or?
No, I would just say that, you know, the questionnaire seeks, that a group of counselors put together a questionnaire for the providers that seeks quantitative information, for example, the number of proceedings and the number of proceedings in which a response was submitted, you know, da-da-da. I plan to send you the questionnaire on and then whatever date. You know, I would go ahead and tell them about the webinar now so that they can block it in their calendars.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll get that up today. I think that's important. Another observation that Khalil made on the questionnaire is he thought I should take out the word favorable in P, where it says involved cases where a favorable decision is not implemented by the registrar. That seemed to make sense to me.
Yeah, that's fine. I would say, now I've lost it again. I would change it to involve cases where a decision ordering transfer is not implemented by the registrar. Because that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I would say that.
Well, it doesn't have to be transfer. In theory, it could just be a deletion.
Right, transfer cancellation, that's fine.
Okay. That's all I've got from him. Are there any other comments? I see that Mary's joined the call as well.
Hey, Mary.
Hi, everybody. Sorry I'm late.
We're just looking at the questionnaire, and it's just you, Mary, it's Jeff. You and Christina, Margie, and Marika.
Oh, really? Okay.
A small group.
A good small group. Okay.
Yeah,
no, I was listening in for, I think, the last 5-10 minutes or so just catching up. The suggestions sound good to me, by the way.
What's the difference between P and Q, or O and P now, I guess? if we change the word O, then what, or what's the difference now between those two?
I don't even understand why you think they're the same. Maybe I'm missing something.
It says, so you've had involved cases where a favorable implementation, so you would say a transfer is not implemented by the registrar. And
or
then,
transfer cancellation is not implemented by the registrar.
Right, and then the next one is involved cases where they desire to transfer the name. Like, how are they going to know a desire?
Jeff, I think this one has to deal with a registrar.
This happens all the time for me, where clients will get domain names. They'll prevail in the UDRP proceeding, and the registrar is one that not only do they not currently work with, but they really don't want to work with, and yet they're stuck having to open an account with that registrar and then keep the name there for 60 days. As opposed to being able to say, I have my entire portfolio with blah, blah, blah registrar. As part of the as part of the order to transfer the name to me, I'd like it also transferred to blah, blah, blah registrar. And you
right,
can't
but is this
do that now.
Is this something the provider is going to know?
I don't know.
The provider knows whether to transfer a name to a registrant, another registrar, or sorry, to the complainant. We're asking a provider to weigh in on whether a complainant desires to transfer to another registrar in addition to the transfer of the name to a different registrar. I'm just not sure that that's a provider question.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
It's a great question to attorneys or to complainants. My recommendation would be probably to drop that from this, but have people speak to it at the webinar when you have complainants on.
Could we have something, this is Mary, on that point about, you know, to the extent that you know or it's been indicated to you, rather than drop it entirely?
Mary, this is Margie. I think in the introduction we basically say if you don't have the information, you know, you don't have to answer it.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, and the reason I mention it too is, and I don't know how far we got with this or if we dropped the idea entirely, is whether we want to use this questionnaire or some form of it or to other people as tweets as well. So it just seems to me to have, if we have that there and give people the option to say, we don't know, we don't have the information, it'll be better than not having it.
Not that I don't want the information there, it's just that we're asking about a desire. We're asking a provider about a complainant's desire.
All right, then drop it. I actually am having another issue. Margie, is there something going on with the ICANN website?
I have no idea.
I'm trying to actually read the UDRP policy just to make sure that I'm where I'm making changes, I'm using the right terminology. And WIPO, for example, instead of having a PDF of it, links to the ICANN site. And I've noticed this over the weekend, that when I scroll, that basically the bottom half of all website pages on the site is cut off. So when I go to look at the UDRP itself, it cuts off after 8A, and the rest of the text just isn't available.
It's also hard to find. How do you find the UDRP from the ICANN if you just go straight to the
ICANN? Oh, it's a nightmare. I always just use the search at the beginning.
Yeah, it's faster to use the search. Like, students complain about that all the time.
Crazy. Yeah, no, I agree. I had the same problem doing my research. I thought it would be simple. Okay, so wait, let me go back. So we want to delete, which one are we on?
The P or whatever that law.
Delete the new P. Okay, it sounds like that's fine. I'll take that out, and it'll be consistent with Philip's observation that this thing's too complex.
How how bizarre. This is on, like, every page of the ICANN site.
This is Rick. I'm on the UDRP site now, and I don't have any problems scrolling to the bottom, like, to 9, and I see the bottom as well of you know, other links. So I don't know if it's possibly a local issue for you. I don't know if I can paste the link in Adobe Connect so people can check if it's the same for them or not.
Well, thank you for publishing it, because I cannot find the UDRP.
Just put the link in the Adobe Connect.
Yeah, sorry.
And just on the note of the website, we are actually in the process of, selecting a provider and then restructuring. So hopefully it will get better over time. But I think we're all very well aware of how difficult it is to find information.
I'm having the same problem that Christina is. I'm going to try to use Firefox, though, and see if that's different.
Oh, good idea.
Which browser are you using, Jeff?
Explorer.
Okay, but I'll, because I'm actually in MDR at the moment, so at least I'll alert our IT team and so they can at least look into it.
I'll tell you in a sec whether I'm having the problem with Firefox. Not having the problem with Firefox, only with Explorer.
On Explorer, I go all the way to the bottom of 9.
Yeah, no, I'm having a problem. I get to 8B and then it gets cut off.
Right. Yeah, I'm fine with Firefox too, but not with Explorer.
I'll look into this. I'll send an email to our tech support, noting that some have issues with Explorers and some don't, so they can check what's going on.
Thank you.
I have another question for you. Should this be a Word document or like a Zoomerang online survey format? I don't know if you guys have any particular preference on how to get these questions out.
I think if it's knowing the providers, probably Word, because they're probably going to submit documents and.
Okay. All right. Any other observations on the questionnaire?
No, I think it's good.
Okay. So as we discussed on the beginning of the call, I'll circulate today after the call essentially the final version, and if I don't hear anything back by close of business tomorrow, I'll publish it on Wednesday. And I'll give the providers a heads up that it's coming. Now, with respect to the webinar, I selected May 10th. For the webinar date, and I'm thinking essentially this time, right, as the time so that we can get not too early for the West Coast folks, and you can get a lot of the European and East Coast folks. So this would be 1500 UTC. Does that seem like an appropriate time for the webinar?
Sorry, what's 1500 UTC?
Right now.
That's 11 a.m. for us on the East Coast, right?
Yeah, I'm Margie. I think it's just too early. I think you can't really do it earlier than 9 on the West Coast.
This is Marika. Is there any chance as well that you do, you know,
two
that you just rotate it? Like we normally do it with the policy update webinar, where we do one which is earlier in the day, more accommodating people in Europe and Asia, and one at a later time that's more accommodating to the U.S.
I think this is going to be too complicated to do it that way. I think it's more than an update. It's going to be more of a, I wouldn't say debate, but it's going to be, I would only do one if we can do it.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jeff, because it's not like it's fixed content like we do in our webinar updates for the policy group. So, yeah, you're right. I forgot about what time it would be on the West Coast. How about an hour later than 1600? It would be 8 o'clock on the West Coast. Is that too early? Because it would be a two-hour block.
You know, I think
WIPO too. You know, like what time do people work at WIPO still?
Oh, you know what, Margie? Maybe the better thing to do is to map out where all the providers are time zone wise, and then work backwards.
Yeah, I think that's a good suggestion because, I mean, this is an important issue to a lot of people, so presumably even if it's a horrible hour, if it's important, they'll make time. So the better thing is probably make sure the providers are available and whoever else we've got.
All right, and the check, you have WIPO in
Geneva, you have Czech Arbitration in Prague, you have NAF in Minneapolis, I think.
Yeah, I'm still thinking that you probably want to do it 8 a.m. on the West Coast. I know it's early for them, but it's just with all the providers and the Czech arbitration. Although I don't know, how about the Hong Kong one? Or is that? I don't know what time it is there.
What, Hong Kong? For noon EST, that'd be midnight.
Yeah, so it seemed like you'd have to do it more towards,
I know, it's really hard. I mean, that's why we do the webinars for policy groups, you know, at two different times.
It may be that the 8 a.m. Pacific time, the original time Margie suggested, might actually work best.
I think that's right, too.
Okay. Yeah, because I want to get the invitation out, at least so that, the announcement for it pretty quickly as well, so people can block out that date.
So who, again, are we inviting? I was on an INTA call last week, and it's obviously, even judging from their reaction, and probably be the same for others, it's going to be a very political... it's going to get politicized, the decision of who we issue invites to speak at the webinar. So have we thought about that real carefully?
I believe we were going to ask the providers for two panelists each, and we would pick from that list. And then we'd also ask the providers for attorneys that one attorney that represents each side, frequently does it. So we were going to have providers, panelists, attorneys, and then the last group was observers, professors, and that was the part I was going to do some research to figure out who, who's a professor that, writes about UDRP, has familiarity, that kind of thing. So I was going to come up at that list. So I would send it to the email list just so you guys know who's being suggested. How does that sound?
I mean, I think that's good. I might also ask a registrar that processes a lot of these. See, because some of these questions asked about registrars implementing things, and there may be issues that a registrar wants addressed by this whole thing, too. So I might ask, a GoDaddy or I think they'll probably, a GoDaddy Network Solutions, one of those, to just provide any observations that they might have. What do people think of that?
Well, I'm not sure that actually makes sense, simply because I can tell you from my experience, the registrars that we would likely ask and that would likely agree to participate are not the ones who are doing this.
Well, but they can tell you maybe some of the issues. I'm not looking for why registrars don't cooperate. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking more for any issues with the UDRP that registrars see need to be addressed from a standpoint of dealing with transfers, dealing with whatever it is. I mean, there are issues, and that some of them are being addressed in the IRTP group, but it's just another aspect when you look at the review of the UDRP from the compliant registrars. Are there any issues that they might have or need to be addressed?
Yeah, we hadn't talked about it before, but, you know, if the purpose of this call, this webinar, is to really issue spot for the issue report, it does seem like that, you know, that would be an important perspective. Mary or Christina, what do you think?
I don't have a problem with it. Matter of fact, I have a wish list of registrars that I would love for you to invite to this.
I would invite the compliant registrars as opposed to...
Well, I think I had a broader question than this. I mean, did we, and I, since I wasn't on the last call, did we resolve the problem? How many people are speaking and which perspective they're going to represent?
Well, actually, that's a really good point. I mean, Margie, wasn't Wendy going to give you some additional names?
I think she was going to help me figure out how to identify, you know, academics, if you will. But that was really all.
And where did we leave the whole issue of independent individual respondents not represented by counsel? How did we leave that? I wasn't quite sure how that was left.
I thought we just dealt with it in the questionnaire. I wasn't sure how we would incorporate that in the webinar. And I'm a little concerned, you know, we're talking about 2 hours. I think we were originally talking about 20 minutes for providers, 20 minutes for panelists, 20 minutes for attorneys that typically represent respondents or complainants. Now you're talking our 20 minutes, and then 20 minutes for this kind of other observations, observers, academics category. And then we also want time for Q&A. So, I mean, the more we expand the categories, the longer the webinar becomes, I guess, because you've got to
right.
give people a reasonable amount of time to speak. You know, and I think we're talking about 5 minutes per speaker at the moment, which isn't a lot. If you know, I mean, I do think that these are important perspectives. If we feel that it's important to solicit, you know, more viewpoints, we can have 2 webinars and break it out versus, you know, the perspectives, part 1 to 2. Because I just think expanding it more than 2 hours is probably pretty draining as well for the participants.
I guess I asked my question because I do think that it's important to, you know, get the perception going at the outset that this, we've tried to make it as balanced as possible. So, and I agree with you, Margie, I don't think we should expand it. On the other hand, I don't know about doing 2. That's also a lot of time. I mean, maybe we will leave the option of a follow-up, but I think that within that 2 hours, if we can get some representative sampling to some extent, that will really go a long way to building goodwill for this project. Do you want me to coordinate with Wendy on the academics she has in mind?
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I know a few people, but I don't know if she's talked to people or she has different people, or I can just shoot an email out to folks as well. So I'll send her an email, and because I assume that she hasn't given you names yet, Margie?
No, she hasn't.
I'm assuming one of them was Constantinos.
I don't know. I mean, she hasn't talked to me about it, so I have no idea.
Yeah. But he's one, obviously, he's written a book on it, so, I mean, he obviously has viewpoints.
Right. I mean, this is the other thing, right? I mean, whether we're talking about academics or registrars or anybody else, there's always going to be some element that's going to say, well, that's not the right choice. But at the same time, you can't have 3 people representing one particular group on the call because that would be totally unwieldy. So maybe that's just something we have to deal with when we get to it. But I'll shoot her an email right now and see where she is on that.
All right, just for the call, and Marika reminded me of this, the registrars in the IRTP report, and there's actually a comment from WIPO, too. There were some issues that the transfer group decided not to deal with and to push it off to the UDRP review, since they dealt with a uniform way of doing certain types of transfers as a result of a UDRP. So I think my memory is not as bad as I thought it was. But, yeah, so that's why I kind of wanted one registrar to just at least be able to give a perspective on that.
Okay, then I suggest in my last category where I've got, observers and I forgot what they, like, I'll just include some registrar reps there, at least two.
I don't know if we need two.
Okay.
But we just need someone who's familiar with those transfer issues, but also familiar with other issues that they may have. And I'm assuming, you know, GoDaddy's been very involved in those groups, right? I don't know if it's James or it's other, James from GoDaddy or other people that GoDaddy has a whole group that deals with UDRP complaints.
It isn't, okay. Rick. Some of the people are in the group, and James is part of the group, Paul Diaz, Michaela Nylon. I know that he's been speaking to that issue as well, because I think he has faced, practical issues with that particular. It relates to, when you're supposed to lock a domain name that's in a UDRP case, and apparently there's no uniform or no prescribed way, and that should be handled and open for interpretation. So I think that's the issue there.
Okay. Then I'll include one spot for a registrar representative. Any other suggestions on the webinar format? And we'll keep it to one webinar, 2 hours.
The sooner we can announce the format and everything, the better. Obviously, just because, like I said, it's probably going to be politicized a little bit or a lot.
Well, I mean, we can only do so much,
Oh, I know. I'm
not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that, we can only, ICANN can only do so much to keep it from being politicized. And at a certain point.
And we'll certainly have more opportunities for input. This is just preliminary. So I'm hoping to organize a session in Singapore. And so there'll be other opportunities to gather input from people.
So are we still on the same timeline, the thought then, that to get a preliminary issues report out in time for Singapore, having a comment period, this other session in Singapore, and then at some point coming out with a final issues report?
Jeff, that's my timeline right now. I think with the webinar being on May 10th, that'll give me plenty of time to meet the deadline for Singapore.
Okay, that's what I've been telling people, but I just want to make sure I'm not wrong.
I'm about to send my changes, and for some reason, I don't know what's going on with it. It doesn't look like it's in a different color, but my head will explode if I have to redo it. So I'll just send it to you, and I apologize in advance if you can't tell what I've added.
It's not that long. I'm sure I'll figure it out.
All right,
anything else before we close?
Nope, thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. I think we don't need another call, or do you think there's a need for another call at this point?
I think we should have one before the webinar.
Okay.
So we have skip to talk about the speakers for the webinar, just to make sure I don't know how we're going to invite them. Marjorie, are you going to do it?
To a certain extent, it's kind of hard having committee approve everything. What I can do is we'll make the next call to talk about presenters. How's that? And then after that, I'll invite them the day after the next call. Does that, and I'll send out a notice, an announcement for the webinar probably this week, maybe Thursday, but it won't have any speakers' names on it.
Right, and I think that's a good idea, because as you said just now, it's good to get the webinar on people's calendars, but once that notice goes out, a lot of people are asking, well, who's speaking? And for those of us kind of working on this group, it'd be kind of nice to be able to say, we've talked about it, we've talked it through, we've looked at the final list. You're right, I don't think we can sit down and approve the whole list, but it'd be nice to at least do a brief call on that so we're all on the same page.
Okay.
Thank you.
For you guys, next week? Or next week, that's Easter, isn't it Easter Monday in Europe? I don't know if I have any Europeans. But
yeah, that's right. Monday is a public holiday in most of Europe. I think Philip is probably, and David, they're both based in Europe.
Okay, then I'll probably choose Tuesday then. I think Tuesday will make more sense next week. Does that work for the rest of you?
Yeah, that's fine. That's actually better than Monday.
Okay. All right.
All right, thank you.
Well, and we will have a call Tuesday of next week.
Okay, bye.
All right,
thank you. Bye-bye.